It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web.
Live it off the wall.
Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am Chris Shearn, and joining me in the first segment right now is Joe Auriemma. Joe, how are you?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Little baseball season coming up, baby. I can't wait.
Baseball's coming up. A lot of people are happy about that, including the two of us. And we are going to have a podcast for Sunday, opening day or opening night, as we welcome in the Yankees and Red Sox to the 2010 season. And our podcast for Sunday is going to be driven by you, our faithful listeners, our faithful followers on Twitter, and it's gonna be a good podcast. We'll get you all primed up and ready. Just part of your pregame before the Yes pregame at 7 o'clock for Yanks and Red Sox kicking off, as I said, the 2010 season. Before we get into some other topics, why don't we just start with the Yankees for a little bit? We'll reserve a lot of this Yankee talk for Sunday when we have that opening day podcast.
Correct.
Driven by you, the viewers and fans on Twitter. But we'll just start with the Yankees, and we'll start with the decision to go with Phil Hughes as the fifth starter. I don't know about you, Joe, but I'm pretty much in favor of this. I was pretty much in favor of this last year, too, when they threw Hughes into the bullpen. I was a little upset because I see Phil Hughes as a starter. I'm sorry, I just do. And it's probably because Jabba Chamberlain, when he came up in 2007, was as electric as he was. I think that kind of hindered him instead of helped him. And it helped him in a lot of ways with the fans so they could latch on to him. You know, a guy who brings his lunch pail to work. People in the New York area, they love that. A guy who just wears a hard hat, goes in, throws a fastball, and just blows people away. It's reminiscent of Goose Gossage. It's just the kind of person New York likes to see. And he did that. He brought that intensity. And, you know, I understand a couple people on Twitter, starters are greater than relievers. I understand that. I get it.
Yeah, I mean,
I hear what you're talking
even
about.
Even our guys at River Avenue Blues, the guys that, you know, work with us, have their site in coordination with YesNetwork.com. They are very big proponents of Jabba Chamberlain being a starter, saying that the innings limit is over, the Jabba rules are done, that he should be now their starter, and Phil Hughes should be in the bullpen. Chris, I can't agree with it.
If you believe Joel Sherman, you believe he's going to pitch poorly this year and he's going to be traded to the White Sox in a package with Aceves for John Danks. So anything could happen. I mean, regardless of where he pitches, if he's a starter or a reliever, if he's a reliever and he could solidify that eighth inning role, all of this is moot.
Yeah.
Because if he pitches well and he pitches well in the eighth inning and he's a bridge to Mariano, which isn't a termites holding hands, people are going to pipe down and people are going to say, okay, Jabba's back. He's got his role overdone with. But even Brian Cashman told Michael Kay on his radio show, you know, they could revisit the starter Jabba next year. So in a way, I kind of side with the kid because he's up, he's down, he's this, he's that, he's stretched, he's not. But, you know, Phil Hughes won this fair and square. He's the fifth starter. I'm excited to see Hughes, you know, finally get a shot. I mean, he did get a shot with Ian Kennedy a couple years back.
But this is the big one.
Didn't work out. But this time, this is Hughes' time to shine.
I agree.
And, you know, next year when Andy Pettitte is not around, you know, if he doesn't pitch well this year, God forbid, if he retires, there's going to be a couple more rotation spots to fill. Who knows if Javi Vasquez comes back? So you're going to have two rotation spots to fill, and maybe Jabba Chamberlain next spring training gets stretched out. If he has a good year and if he doesn't get traded, maybe he does come back to the rotation. Everybody gets their way.
Here's my thing, Chris.
Just before you say it, you know, just leave it be. I don't see what the big damn deal is. He's in the bullpen. That's what a lot of people wanted, including myself. Let him go out to the bullpen. Let him get a roll out in the bullpen. Let him be the electric Jabba Chamberlain he was in 2007. There's a lot of people who think he's not going to be that electric Jabba Chamberlain anymore. But I think he will be. He doesn't have to be throwing 97, 98, 99 miles an hour. He just needs a decent fastball, and he needs that hard slider back, and he'll be fine.
And, Chris, look, here's the thing with Jabba. Jabba himself, in his body language and in the way he speaks to the media, says it himself. I mean, he wants to be a starter. He tells everybody he wants to be a starter. But then when he talks about the differences between being a starter and a reliever, he told us down in spring training, when I am a reliever, he goes, the difference between a starter and a reliever is when I'm a reliever, I go out there and know that this could be my last batter. This could be my last inning. So I give it my all. I go out and I pitch to every batter like it's the last batter I'm ever going to face. When I'm facing a when I'm a starting pitcher and I'm facing batters, there's room for error. Do you think CC Sabathia goes out there on a night in, night out basis when he's pitching every 5 days and he says, "Yeah, there's room for error. I'm a starting pitcher, so there is room for error." No, CC Sabathia pitches to with that intensity, with that killer mentality, and that's what Jabba has in the bullpen that he doesn't have as a starter.
Well, there is room for error when you're a starter because you're out there for 5-6 innings if you're lucky, and you have an offense backing you up.
But that's not the way to think, though.
It's not the way to think when you're a starter, but it's not a horrific way to think when you're a starter. I mean, there is room for error. When you come in as a reliever with a one-run lead, there is no room for error. You have to be perfect.
Right.
If you're not perfect and you give up a run,
right,
it's a tie ball game. It's a blown save. So I could see where he's coming from, and I could see how you could take that. If you heard that from him, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, you should just go out there and try to hold them to no runs all the time. I mean, that's what you should be doing as a starter or
Roy Halladay. I'm sure Roy Halladay goes out there every 5 starts, or Tim Lincecum goes out there every 5 starts, and they say there is no room for error.
They don't want a run to score.
There is no room for error.
And usually, and most times, runs are hard to come by when those people are on the mound. But the bottom line here is, I don't know why people are all up in arms about him not being in the starting rotation. Jabba Chamberlain has a role, okay? He had a role last year. It was, you know, it had a couple of definitions. If you look Jabba Chamberlain up in Webster's, there's, you know, the number one starter, then the number two reliever, then three, and sometimes maybe middle guy. He was just all over the place. He was getting outs, helping the team win, and what... People could have a lot worse to complain about. This team is coming off a freaking World Series championship.
It's the truth.
Okay? Jabba Chamberlain not only goes to the bullpen, but he strengthens a bullpen that really didn't need any strengthening.
It's the truth, man.
It is. I don't see why people are complaining. And, of course, and I know people who listen to this, who do this, will probably, you know, really disagree with me. I don't really care. Disagree with me. But the sabermetricians who want to throw numbers at me, why Jabba should be a starter as opposed to a reliever, listen, take your numbers, crumble them up, throw your abacuses in the closet. I don't want to hear it. You ever play the game?
And you know what? You know what sabermetrics can't, sabermetricians can't measure?
If sabermetrics could predict the future, there'd be a lot of lucky lottery winners out there.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
It can't measure heart, man.
No.
It really can't.
No, and it can't measure... you know, alcohol consumption the night before. Not that I'm saying anybody does that, but you know, players live
Let
that kind of lifestyle. Yeah,
62 games.
Look at Mickey Mantle.
Yeah,
but he could play drunk and probably, you know, still destroy the ball. But
hey.
That you know, all these little things. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they have a touch of something when they go out there. You know, all that math you do isn't going to predict what he's going to do during the season. I'm sorry. That's why I don't completely poo-poo your numbers, but I completely poo-poo you trying to tell me what they're going to do this season. Because I don't care what they did in the past. A guy could have had a crappy... Take Brett Gardner, for example, okay? You could spit out every number you want about Brett Gardner. If he bats 290 with 6-7 home runs, 100 runs scored, and 65-70 RBI this year, your numbers aren't punching that out right now, are they? But he could do it. And everybody says, oh, it's a career year. No one saw this coming. Not even the mighty sabermetricians. Put that in your collective pipe and smoke it, my friends.
Oh,
anyway.
All right. Well,
that's a good way to jump off. Anyway, we're going to talk more baseball on Sunday, like we said. And, of course, please go to Twitter. Joe is at Joe Auriemma, NYY. I am at BPTV17. So go to those.
And don't forget at Yes Network.
And at Yes Network, please just go there. If you have a comment, if you want to tell me I don't know what I'm talking about sabermetrics, please, by all means, debate me. Go to the
My Yes message boards.
You could also call 646-487-3668. Leave us a message. We'll get you on that way. Or you could email us at offthewall@yesnetwork.com.
That's correct. So
many avenues.
Get it to us by Friday, folks.
There are so many lanes on our information superhighway.
Yes.
Well, there's only one John Lane, but there's so many there's so many lanes you could travel to get in touch with us on our information superhighway here. Yes, there's no excuse for not to get your comment, question, or ridicule of Joe or myself onto the podcast on Sunday. Now, speaking of ridicule and unrest and all that other good stuff, when we come back, how about some more Tiger talk? Woo! Let's do it. The New York Post.
It just doesn't end.
You know, I didn't think we were going to have any Tiger talk this week, and then I opened the New York Post to page 10. And oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh baby, there's some stuff to discuss, and if you're under 18, you have to have your parents' permission to listen to the rest of the podcast next when we come back right here on YesNetwork.com.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast. I am Joe Auriemma. With me, as always, is Chris Sheeran. I figured you'd like that intro, Chris. Now, I'm actually with Chris on this show, and we're going to do a little Tiger
There's
talk.
No pecking order on the Off the Wall podcast.
You are the Off the Wall master.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, we're going to do a little Tiger talk like we've done the last 3 weeks
because it's fun.
And
it's funny. All right, so the Post, we taped this on Wednesday, if you didn't know that. So the Post on Wednesday, March 31st, if you want to go to a back issue and check it out, I open it up. Well, first of all, he's on the cover. It says, inside story, the bad boys who led Tiger astray. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it was somebody's fault. Or as my wife commented when she looked at it, yes, somebody forced him to put his you-know-what into somebody else. Great. As I said, if you're 18 or under, please get your parents' permission. But anyway, I open it up to page 10. The byline, tempted by hoop star Jordan.
Ooh.
Sex in the kitchen. Okay, so apparently Michael Jordan helped Tiger Woods, the main basis of this article.
Well, we all know about
and
Michael
Charles
Jordan's
Barkley,
escapades.
Yeah,
and...
or sexcapades, if you will. But the Post, I'm surprised that they didn't put this centerfold picture on the cover or just make it a center cutout of the paper. I'm not quite sure who this is because her name isn't under the picture. Usually they do that.
They, throw a caption there.
But it's a Vanity Fair article where all this is coming from. The Post just has excerpts from it. And pretty much the most, I guess I would say, awful stuff came from the Perkins waitress that Tiger had a little bit of a fling with. And it's just...
Did he get the, oh no, moon over my hammy is Denny's. That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't,
Did he get the sausage McMuffin?
Well, he didn't. But anyway, diner waitress Lawton. What's her name now? Mindy Lawton.
Mindy.
From Perkins.
Sounds
okay.
About right.
This is. I'm reading this, and I just thank the good Lord my daughter cannot read yet. Basically. Had relations with her in the house when Elin was in Sweden with her sister. In the house, in the garage, in the kitchen, everywhere. After they had breakfast at this place, soon after he left, allegedly, this waitress got a call at the eatery.
Oh, boy.
And he says, hi, this is Ty.
Ty?
Yes,
Ty. Like Ty Webb.
Ty Webb, yeah. But with a T-I. And she said, who? Tiger. couple of friends and I are going out tonight to the Blue Martini.
Ooh, good spot.
And I was wondering if you wanted to join us. Great. So he goes out with her to the Blue Martini. Then they start this, like, sexual relationship. I'm not going to say what I said.
Gave her a little extra tip.
No, that was his problem. That's what a lot of these girls didn't like. He would tip 15%.
Oh.
And then he would pay like $15,000 to have these sexcapades
with
these women. So they didn't like him because he wasn't a big tipper. But Joe, this is what I want to get. You haven't read this.
Right. And
this is the reaction I want to get from you. Because everything about Tiger Woods' father, Earl, has been pristine.
Right.
Okay, this is the first time.
Well, his father actually, didn't he have affairs? And that's why Tiger was mad at him. I knew that backstory.
All right. Well... A former Woods advisor, this guy Merchant, okay, said it was a fight over money that led to him being ousted from Tiger's inner circle. In 1996, when a 21-year-old Woods scored a $40 million endorsement deal with Nike, Merchant said he called out Tiger's dad Earl for grabbing $1 million of the deal.
Wow. Okay.
Merchant said he was fired the next morning, and Tiger was then surrounded with yes men and corporate enablers. Meanwhile, Earl Woods, aside from being a money grubber, also was rather uncouth, some sources said. Now, here's the part that raised my eyebrows. He was once given a Father of the Year award from an organization and showed up at the coat and tie affair in these little hot pants, short shorts, and a golf shirt. And he's got a big old vodka gimlet going and a cigarette burning, and he's sound asleep, just hammered. Blank face.
Father of the Year. I love this guy. He's got a vodka gimlet.
The apple didn't fall far from the tree when it came to cheating either, the source added. Earl always had a cute little assistant. There could always been a potential for harassment.
Sorry. I didn't mean to laugh. I'm just laughing at the situation.
That's what raised my eyebrow.
Like you said, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And I did know that Tiger's father had affairs, and Tiger was mad about it. Tiger was genuinely upset that he would do that to his mother. So why would Tiger go out and do this to Elon?
Well, apparently it was Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley's fault.
Of course. Now I'm blaming everybody else. I wonder, though, when he had breakfast with this girl,
he wasn't having breakfast with her. He was having breakfast with his family, with his wife and two kids.
With this...
Then left.
Elon, the Swedish chef.
Right.
Oh, God. Tiger, you want some? Toast.
Not quite. I wouldn't really compare Elon to the Swedish chef, but... Then, apparently, there's this other woman. I guess she's one of the 16. I think that's what we're up
now.
To.
I think there's 18 now.
A Hawaiian tropic girl.
Oh, boy.
Not Michelle Braun. There's so many. Her last name is,
Lloyd Braun.
Famous Seinfeld character. Ferriolo. That's her last name. I can't locate her first name in the paper as we speak right now, and I don't want to waste any time with her first name because that's what it would be, a waste of time. But she is apparently writing a book about her experiences with Woods called Up to Par. So the cash flow from all of these trysts that this guy had is just astronomical.
He's single-handedly going to help the economy.
And, you know, Captain Obvious, I don't know who reported it first, but I might have saw it online today or something, but Elon will not be attending the Masters. Gee, you think?
Apparently they're trying to work it out, though.
The more this stuff comes out, now listen, I don't know about your wife. I don't know about my... I know about my wife. There'd be no working it out.
No, no.
There would be no working it out.
No.
If I were her... Look, put yourself in Elon's shoes for a second.
Right.
Wouldn't you rather just take $500 million and be done with this circus? Why would you want to stick around?
Because I don't...
Why would you want your kids around that situation?
It's not $500 million right now. The prenuptial agreement says that she only gets that after 10 years of marriage. That's the thing. She gets the half, but for every year, she gets another $60 million or another $80 million. So if she sticks it out another 2 years, she gets another $140 million. and just.
Oh, I don't blame her. I would do it until it was $500 million. I would stay in Sweden and just stay married and say, look, you do whatever you got to do, but guess what? I'm gonna divorce you when I get $500 million.
At the 10-year mark.
Yep.
You can bet your behind. You will be getting a subpoena.
And then you can do whatever you want, and you're never gonna see your kids again either. I would not. I would. There was no way I would have kids around that situation.
No. No, not until. You could say I want full custody until you grow up.
And I gotta give the Post credit here where credit is due. This is David Lee, by the way.
Not the Knicks basketball player.
No. L-I is the way you spell the last name. And under the picture of the waitress, Mindy Lawton, it says breakfast, raunch, and dinner. You gotta love the Post. Anyway, so that's the new Tiger dish today. So, I mean, it's just getting to the point where, you know, I thought it was going to go away. He's coming back to the Masters. It was quiet for a week. And then all of a sudden today, as we tape the podcast, boom, right across the face, it hits us again. Can't make it up.
Unbelievable.
But
all these guys are getting caught now. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Jesse James.
Oh, this is a bad time stupidity. Wow. That is a good picture. All right.
Joe is now looking at the centerfold. But you know what? This guy deserves everything he gets. You can't blame Jordan. You can't blame Barkley. Because as my wife so eloquently put it, they didn't force him to have sex with these people.
Of course not.
They might have put him in a situation. And, you know, after the kids, Elon might not have been as, for lack of a better way to put it, sexually acceptable.
Right.
Or accessible, I should say.
But still, it's just, it's.
But as we talked about weeks ago, if you're not there yet, if you want to experience this with all the money you have, then don't get married.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
You're right.
Don't get married.
You're absolutely right. It's just, if you're going to do that, just, if you're going to live that life, don't have kids yet. You know, wait till you're mature enough, because he's obviously not mature enough. He's a 34-year-old kid who thinks he's still, you know, 15 years old and can do whatever the hell he wants.
All right, and on that note, we're going to wrap up our Tiger segment for today. When we come back, we'll wrap up the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Joe and I back right after this.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
And welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com, a abbreviated Off the Wall podcast today. We did get you some Tiger, though, which I'm sure all of you enjoyed. Just a reminder, as Joe and I said in our first segment, we really want you to get in touch with us on the information superhighway here at Yes, whether it's through the Off the Wall podcast phone number, which is 646-487-3668, or the email offthewall@yesnetwork.com. Or Joe, how can we be reached on Twitter?
You can, you know, get us at Yes Network, at Joe Auriemma NYY, or at BPTV17. You could either mention us or direct message us, whatever you want to say.
Questions, comments, you disagree with us, disagree with something.
We have
about
a whole
job
page set
sell
up on My Yes with message boards. You can you know, go on the message boards and comment anything you want. You can email us anything.
If you ever wanted a podcast, this is the time to get involved. This is the time where you are going to run the show with your comments, questions, phone calls, emails, everything.
Get it in by Friday.
Don't be shy. Just get them in by Friday, and we will have some fun with that podcast on Sunday for opening day when the Yankees open the season, taking on the hated Red Sox. And if you get a chance, I just told Joe this before coming back on the air, and you should check out on YouTube the new Sunday Night Baseball spot with Clay Buchholz. I think his name is Dave Scott. He was the brother of Will Ferrell and Step Brothers. Not John C. Reilly, but...
Right, the other brother.
You know, the clean-cut brother who had the successful life, that one. And he and Buchholz are on the couch singing a song, and a surprise visitor is on the chair next to them and will not join in. It's pretty cool, so go check it out. Just do a search on YouTube for ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, Sweet Caroline, and you will like it. So
it's pretty
Joe,
funny.
Anything else?
Yeah, I'm pumped for the new season, man. I can't believe it's already here. I can't believe it feels like 10 years ago we were in spring training, which was only like two and a half weeks ago.
But it seems like yesterday.
Feels like yesterday the season just ended. So it's crazy. But the Yankees are back. The Nets, they're not going to break any records this year. Congratulations. Beating a very good Spurs team without Ginobili and Tony Parker, so good
But as
job,
Keon
man.
Dooling said to me after the game, a win is a win, and he's absolutely right because you can't say anything about any team complaining about injuries because if one team has had enough of their fair share of them, it's been the New Jersey Nets this season.
And I just want to congratulate them. And if you didn't see the 60 Minutes interview with their new Russian owner, it's a must-see.
I have it on tape.
It's awesome. He is something else, I gotta tell you.
Russian billionaire playboy.
And if you watch this, you could actually think that the Nets might be in contention next year with the way he talks.
Well, let's hope. He wants to take them from worst to first. We will see. And we will also see you once again on Sunday for an off-the-wall podcast driven by you, the fans. We'll see you then, everybody. Take care. She was more like